Amen, and good morning, everybody. Good morning. If I haven't met you before, my name's Tori. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm really glad you're here this morning to worship with us. I'm not sure if I'm the only one who this morning was one of those that you'd say was pretty close to E on the empty. Anyone else this morning feel like you're kind of close to empty? I was a bit discouraged by that. Not a lot of energy and just things going wrong this morning. But it reminded me of multiple times where I feel like I'm on empty, and those tend to be the most God-filled, God-sightings kinds of day. Because as we sang, we rely not on our own power, our own strength, our own wisdom, but on His, and we're actually stronger when we're relying on Jesus. And so that's what we want to do every Sunday, every day, and what we're going to do this morning. This is our first official kickoff Sunday. We've never done this before. We've had an official first day of the calendar year, so to speak, for our church. We're going to kick off the ministries in our church, many of which were off for the summer. And you're going to hear from multiple people to come up and share what these ministries are and some ways you can get involved. And you're going to get to hear from them. And I actually have a timer so that I don't talk too long because you're going to get to hear from many people in our church. And I was hoping there wouldn't be like an applause to that, which is good. I didn't hear that. Okay. All right. That's fine. So I will go pretty quick. But what I want to cover is no small thing. I want to remind us of the big picture vision that God has for the world, for His people. Big picture vision. And then we're going to hone in on what is a more, just for this year, kind of narrow in on what is our one of our goals, one of our ambitions for this year, a repeated theme that we're going to keep bringing up. So for the big picture vision, I just want to remind you, or maybe you've never heard it, maybe you've never gone through the story of Scripture, the story that God has been weaving and that we're a part of. And this story tells us in Genesis that there was a time that heaven and earth overlapped, when humanity walked with God. A time before our relationship with God, with His angelic creatures, before it was severed. A time before that our relationship with one another, with other people, before it became twisted. A time before our relationship with ourselves became fractured. A time before our relationship with God's world became dangerous. There was a time before. And that time, we still have these echoes, if you will, of Eden, where we look around at, yes, a beautiful world with many good gifts, with goodness and with relationships and with love and with many things worth living for. And yet, at the same time, a world filled with pain and sorrow and loneliness. And we know that's true because of the fall, because we turned away from God in the rebellion in Genesis 3. But the good news is the end is better than the beginning. Can I say that again? The end is better than the beginning. God isn't done. In fact, there was never a plan B. The fall of mankind, of us, turning away from God, was always part of the plan. God doesn't have a plan B. The best is yet to come. The fall of man was also the rise of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because of the fall, Jesus became one of us. God became man so that we can know Him and experience Him. The last two Sundays, you heard that similar thing. Knowing and experiencing God so that we could know Him and experience Him far greater than we could before, even before the fall. God became one of us, and His scars in the hands and the feet and the side of Jesus that will always be there. Prove it. And because of Him, because He came for us and lived for us and died for us and rose, the end is better than the beginning. The truth is, your most absurd hopes, the most deepest absurd longings you have, will be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The end is better than the beginning. I want to read to you Revelation 21, 1 through 8 to remind you of what's coming. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. You hear that? A new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more. Neither will there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." He said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It's done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. To the one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." Yes, the end is far better than the beginning for all those who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. He's creating all things new. And so what's the big picture vision? Knowing that that is true, knowing that that is more real than anything else you know or experience, what's the vision? What's the mission, so to speak? What do we do in the meantime? Because the new heavens and new earth are coming, which, by the way, it's one of the reasons our name is called Terra Nova, new earth, new ground, fresh ground, that's coming. And so our mission is to make more and better disciples of Jesus, because we want to make new ground, so to speak, and have more people know about the message and the person of Jesus Christ, more people to know him and receive his life before that future is reality now, before the coming kingdom. We want people in our city, in our family, in our neighborhood, in our workplace to know him. We want more churches to be planted around the world. We want to keep getting after that work as a church. We want more disciples, but we also want better ones. That means more mature, growing in the truth, leaving behind what Jesus says to leave behind as we move forward into life with him, uncovering new ground in our own hearts, in our own minds, walking with Jesus. That's our mission, keeping Jesus as the focus. That's where we're moving forward, big picture-wise, what every church is doing, should be doing, that knows Jesus. So yes, that's the big picture, vision and mission. And part of the way we get after that mission, because we have that vision he gave us for the big picture, is we have ministries, which includes a Sunday morning gathered like we're experiencing right now. But it also includes other ministries that you're going to hear from men and women, and just to be excited about this year and the things that we're doing. So you'll hear from them in a minute. But just before we get there, I want to hone in on a bit more of a specific hope for this year for us as a church. And I've hinted at it a few times leading up to it, so hopefully it won't be that big of a surprise. But the vision for this year is pretty simple. Obedience to our Lord. When we were doing our favorite verses and we were learning from each other some of the verses that have really impacted us, I mentioned how Psalm 51:6 is something that's really stuck with me for several months now, and that I know can apply to all of us. When he says, "Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart." This idea that God delights in truth, not just that we know in our minds and our heads, but that's embraced, that's lived out, that's deep within us, that's seen in the way that we live and how we speak and what we do. Obedience to our Lord, I think, is a way of saying that, in a way that covers what we want this year. To say it really simply, I want you to be throughout this year asking God, what are the ways, Lord, that I know things about you and I know truth, but I haven't really embraced it because I'm not really living it. I want to give you one example that God's been teaching me just in the last couple days. And there's a long story behind it. I'm not going to share it. But basically, a couple mornings ago, I woke up, and Anna said to me something like, Anna's my wife, and she said, you're really happy this morning. Like, you're like, what's going on? And I realized I had some, for the past week, I've had quite a bit of just like back pain flaring up again. And that got me really discouraged. And that morning, there was some relief. And I didn't connect the dots that the reason I'm really happy and patient and just like glad to be alive was because I wasn't experiencing the pain in the moment. And I know in my mind that God calls me to be joyful and patient and caring always, despite how I'm feeling, you know, in the moment or in the or whatever. But that's something that I want this year, one of the many things I'm sure God's going to show me that he wants me to live in and not just know in my mind, that you can choose joy in Christ. It's available in him always, not just when you're feeling good. I need that. So what are some ways this year that God's going to speak to you that he wants you to not just know it in your mind, but live it out? To be obedient to our Lord. Obedient. Not just hearers of the word, James says, but doers of it. We're going to be hearing throughout this year what it means to truly be the church. And I think for many of us, there's not going to be a lot of new information. It's just going to be a year of, am I actually living these things out? Let's live it out. Obedience to our Lord. He's the Lord, the great I am. We're not obedient primarily to a person or an organization or a thing, but to the great I am, the Lord of lords, the King of kings. He gets our primary allegiance. Jesus said, don't call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say. I'm paraphrasing. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? I want this to be a year that we are choosing to take from things we have just in our minds and say, God, I want to live those things out. We know a lot of information, but God, what are the things not connecting here from my mind to my heart? Help me live it out, whether I'm enjoying it or not, whether that looks like what might appear like picking up my cross and following you daily, like you'll hear more about, or if it's something that I can see of reasons why I'd want to do it. Either way, I'm following you, I'm obeying you, Jesus, because you're my Lord, you're my Savior. But notice it says obedience to our Lord. This morning was one of those mornings a bit on empty where a couple times I thought to myself, like, man, things are going rough and I don't even really want to go this morning. I hate to admit that. It was one of those mornings. And then I'm reminded, I'm part of something much bigger than myself. And Jesus is worthy of my devotion always, when things are going well and when they're not. We're part of something so much bigger than ourselves. We as a people, let's strive after what is most precious in this life, and that's Jesus. Let's strive after him together. We see in Acts 2 a church that was there for each other, showed up, met each other's needs when there were needs, gave generously, was unashamed to talk to the people around them about Jesus, and they saw people come into faith even daily. Let's do this together, obedience to our Lord. Let's get after it. Let's choose this year. God, you're going to be first. Show me, convict me of the things that you want me to get after. Psalm 51, is in the context of it, is David confessing of his sin. God, show me where the sin is that you want me to grow in. Obedience to our Lord. Let's do it together. Let's get after it, okay? You're about to hear about some of the ministries in our church. These are some of the strategies we get after it together and ways to accomplish the mission of making more and better disciples of Jesus. So you're about to hear from multiple people about those ministries. The first person you're going to hear from is me. Hi. My name is Pastor Tori, and I oversee some of our ministries, including youth and young adults group and benevolence. You're going to hear from for Becca concerning our young adults group. You're going to hear from Krista concerning youth. You're going to hear from Betsy Westervelt concerning benevolence. But something else that Anna and I a couple years ago decided to want to get involved in was for a ministry, so to speak, for our college students. Hello, good to see you again. And so a couple years ago, we decided, what are some ways that we just want to make our church less of a house, halfway house where you kind of pass through, and more of a home? And so some of the things we did to try to get after that included having a welcome picnic, which I'm about to swing back to. You know that's today, right? You know that's today? Okay. But also through the year, just being available for you to connect with us. And there's a lot of you, so connecting you with some other people in the church as well. But just having people you know you can get together with, and we'll get coffee for you or a meal or something. And then at the end of the year, we do care packages. So before your finals, many of you were there for that, you let us know the things that would be helpful for you. and individuals or families get those for you and pray for you, and that's toward the end of the year. But in the very beginning, and also last year we had one night where Anna and I had you guys over to our apartment and had dinner and prayed together and played games, and we're going to do that at least once this year as well. But what I want to mention, because it's very applicable for today, is our welcome picnic. And so we're going to have that after service today. It's going to be at Prospect Park, and if you need to go back to get something or get changed, or if you want to go straight there, we're going to try to get there as quickly as we can. So we'll see you there. We'd love for you to come. We're going to have pizza. We're going to have some delicious snacks and desserts that I know some people in our church have made for you. And so come hungry, and there'll be plenty of food and beverages. We're gonna talk a bit. We're going to share a bit. We're going to have yard games. You're welcome to bring any yard games if you want. We're bringing a bunch of chairs, but if you happen to have one, you can bring one. But just bring yourself. If there's someone you know of, especially that doesn't have a church home, I'm inviting you to invite them as well to come. But we'd love to see you today after service at Prospect Park, just up the hill when you get there. We'll be in there in a big yard space ready to do that. So I hope you guys can make that. And just to shout out for a second, I love talking with you guys after service. Today, Anna and I are going to jet right out of here to get the stuff we need to start setting up for the picnic. So you can care for us by waving and say, bye, I hope it goes great, okay? That's what we're going to do. Also, for college students, you're going to hear about today how today is the baptism class. And if you're thinking about getting baptized, I'd really encourage, if you are a believer and you haven't been baptized, I really encourage, like, go to that class. That might be a sacrifice to miss some of the picnic. We'll still be there. You can come afterwards. But I can tell you, it's not hard. God would rather you be at the baptism class than at the picnic. I just know that that's true. But you can come to us and hang out with us at the picnic afterwards if you're interested in getting baptized. Okay. So that's a little bit about our college ministry, things you can expect for this year. The next one I want to mention, as I call up Betsy Westervelt. Betsy and Eric Westervelt are our deacons of benevolence. And we know from God's word that he calls his church, he calls his people to care for those who are materially in need, who may need help. And we want to be a church that continues to represent God's heart in that way and care for those in need, for those who might be vulnerable for a season of life. And so they've been getting after it to continue to equip us to be a church that's ready for that. We've already had a couple opportunities to do that the last couple years. And you're going to hear a little bit more about Betsy, about the benevolence ministry, and some of what we've been doing in that. So thank you, Betsy. Are we good? Excellent. Can you hear me? All right. Thank you.
Good morning. So suffering and crisis can threaten to overwhelm and isolate us, stir up questions, doubts, and drive us away from or toward Jesus. But God. God has called us to live in intimate community, sacrificially caring for one another, building the church up in love, and standing firm against the devil's schemes. Terra's Benevolence Ministry desires for our congregation to use our God-given resources to obediently love our neighbors as ourselves, both inside and outside of the church. Today, we're talking about our inward-facing ministry. Remembering God's mercy towards us, we desire to care for people and walk with them in Christian community over time, fostering the restoration of all that God intends for his people as image bearers, both helpers and recipients alike. So we're going to share some guidelines today, but every benevolent situation is different. And it's carefully considered before the Lord because Jesus sees us in our suffering. He knows us by name, and we want to reflect that. So tribes will continue to be the primary source of meeting most routine familiar needs like meals and babysitting or moving or even helping couples in their marriage. So my husband's going to explain the sort of the difference or the types of individuals that benevolence helps.
Thank you. Good morning. Again, my name is Eric. So benevolence helps those, excellent job, thank you, Carl, helps those in immediate danger, domestic violence, fire, those sort of things. So if you have someone in your life within the church that has that kind of need, benevolence is an option for them. It helps church members, including those who aren't in a tribe. In fact, if you're not in a tribe, it's a good thing to think about. Maybe benevolence is the right place to help a person who has a significant need. It helps those who have needs that exceed a tribe's capability. So if you're a tribe leader and you've got someone in your group who has a really significant need, and you think, who am I going to get to help? Maybe benevolence is the right answer. And it helps those individuals who may not be part of Terra but are closely connected to the Terra church in some way. And that's, of course, on a case-by-case basis that we consider those things. So the next chart there, Carl. So how do we do this? We do this by, when someone approaches the benevolence team, by listening and understanding to the story and the request for help. We work with the person or couple or group to complete an intake form to better understand what the need is about, the health considerations, social considerations, and so forth. And we use a set of principles we've developed to evaluate the need and how the church can help. And then we develop a plan for how we're going to help walk alongside and address the need, both in the near term and in the long term. And then just finally, a couple of updates. So what we've been up to. So the next chart. We've been building a team. We've been equipping the tribe leaders to know what this ministry is about and helping them get connected with us. We've built an intake system that helps us connect with the elders to evaluate the needs. And then we've defined some roles. So there are individuals identified within our community, including a financial team, that helps us help in community meet those needs. And of course, doing this sort of ministry requires a lot of hands. And so if you feel led and gifted in this area, welcome you to get involved and help needs, whether it's fixing cars, preparing meals, whatever it may be. And so if you have a need that you're aware of, don't hesitate to reach out, please. And if you have a need, please first reach out to your tribe leader, if you have a tribe leader. If not, reach out to an elder or directly to us. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Thank you, Eric and Betsy. Okay. So we've heard a little bit about our college ministry, about benevolence. And next we have Pastor Dennis coming up to share about tribes. All you, brother.
Check. Good morning, coming over church. Check. Sibilance. Okay. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Dennis Gardner. I serve as the pastor of discipleship and operations. We're not going to talk any much about operations today because it's not really relevant, but we are going to talk about discipleship for a bit. If you have a guide page today, I say this all the time, you look at the top in script, it says the mission of our church is what? To make more and better disciples of Jesus. And if I am being honest, if I look at my title and my job description next to what our principal mission is, yes, I feel completely overwhelmed sometimes, but thanks be to God, such a weighty feeling is momentary because the principal mission of our church to make more and better disciples of Jesus is not solely Pastor Dennis's job. It is Terra Nova Church's mission. It's the mission of all of us as a church. And I think that's why today having all of these people come up and speak is really important because we're going to have the opportunity to hear from the hearts of some of our ministry leaders. And although these little pieces may seem brief, these visionary reports, I hope, would give us a gauge as to how we are working out our primary mission of making more and better disciples of Jesus. A disciple, it could be a whole sermon, it could be a whole sermon series, but here I want you to hear this. This is what a Christian disciple is a person who follows Jesus Christ, who accepts the good news of salvation through him, who commits to the process of growing in the Lord Jesus Christ and assists in spreading his gospel. So to be a disciple is to be, is a state, and it's also a process. And we look at our ministries, we look at tribes, we look at Imago, we look at Poema, we look at YAG, we look at Terra Youth, we look at Terra Kids. And I just want to say, these aren't things that churches just do. Okay, to be one, to be part of one or maybe even more of these ministries that you're going to hear about today is to be able to utilize those as kingdom-building tools. These ministries are for you, so that we can all grow together and work in our mission. Starting about 2 years ago, I'd say, there was a vision for some of our tentpole ministries to be grounded in a common biblical passage with a common theme and direction. In the past, we had our leaders in our church say, well, I have a heart for the men's ministry to talk about this and to have the women's ministry talk about this, and perhaps YAG is going to be going through the book of Hosea or something like that. And that's all great. But the thought was, what if we had a common base? A common base where we had this ministry and this ministry and this ministry and this ministry all growing together. And that idea was soft launched last year with our men's group Imago and our women's group Poema in their quarterly meetings. And they were all grounded in John 17. And they had unity in Christ as a joint direction. As far as I can tell, it was gangbusters, right? Can I hear a witness? Was it good this past year? I think it was, but I could be biased. And this coming ministry year, we want to follow that same pattern. I understand that the young adults group is now going to be planned on grafting in to this idea of a common theme and a common scripture, and to a degree, Terra Youth, but it should be noted that this new verse and direction was formally set just a week ago. So there's still stuff to be communicated and some organizational work to be done. But here is the anchoring scripture for our ministries at Terra Nova for the coming year. Comes from Luke 9, 23 through 25. This is Jesus talking, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? I think if we listen to what Pastor Torrey said, I think this fits wonderfully in the idea of obedience to our Lord and striving after Jesus. Because what I'd like to see for all of our disciple ministries this coming year is a discipleship philosophy. With a few points. One, we come after Jesus. Can you leave that slide back up there for a second, Carl? That we come after Jesus. He is our predecessor. He comes before us. And two, Jesus expects us to experience the things that he experienced. Let that sit for just a second. He expects us to experience the things that he experienced because we follow Jesus. It also said that we are to pick up our cross and to follow him daily. Right? This is the idea of suffering preceding glory. Jesus modeled that for us. And ultimately, the Christian discipleship journey is not about our individual wants and needs, because it also says that we're to deny ourselves. And we're to deny ourselves to build his kingdom. And so that's where God had my heart for our third theme for the discipleship ministries. I think it's going to line up beautifully with our series in the church. And I think it's going to line up beautifully with Pastor Torrey's overarching theme of obedience to our Lord and striving after Jesus. So before I start to invite our ministry leaders up to say some pieces, I just want to take a few minutes to highlight Terra Nova's primary place of discipleship, and that's our tribes. Once again, if you're newer here to church, at Terra Nova Church, it should be mentioned that tribes are what other churches call small groups or community groups. But the name is not important. It's the model that's important. A couple months ago, I was able to say that if I do the math, we spend 1/56th of our waking week on a Sunday morning in service together. And the pastors They do their best to make that hour and a half as much about Jesus, revealing him, worshiping him, but it's still less than 2% of our week is spent here on a Sunday morning. And that's why we refer to tribes as the primary place of discipleship, because that's where the essential and the fundamental and the parts of being the actual church happen. They happen when we are intentional about knowing others and being known, serving others and being served, loving one another as Christ loves us. That's what we have in our tribes, and that is one of the main ways we do discipleship here, and we take them very seriously. Just real quick, if you're new here and you like to hear the word tribe, I just want to give a brief overview of what a tribe is and it looks like. A regular tribe meeting will probably happen once every other week at a host home, and at that time, it'll generally consist of a form of corporate worship. It will involve a period of discussion, and that discussion revolves around the scripture and what is being preached on. So once again, here we are moving all in the same direction. And then we always set a time to pray for one another and with one another. And on top of that, we get to know those in our tribes, and we do social stuff together. We do community service together. We support each other through differing seasons of life. So long story short, tribes, we take them very seriously. It is the church being the church beyond an hour and a half on a Sunday morning. And so at this point, I would just like to invite Nick Joseph to come up, and I wanted to give one of our folks at Terra an opportunity to speak on what tribe involvement looks like for him personally. Nick?
Thanks, Dennis. Good morning. My name is Nick, and my wife, Krista, and I are part of the Troy Tribe, which is led by Brad and Lauren Lewis and Junha. And I started coming to Terra last May, and then I ended up joining a tribe when they started in the fall season. So for me, it was really important to get connected in on a community and grow and learn about God at the same time. And you don't have to have been at Terra for a long time to be a part of a tribe. It's probably better if you're even a bit newer, so you can learn, you can meet people, and you can keep learning. Our tribe chooses to do a potluck once a month, which is a great time for people to show off their passions in cooking, and there's a couple people who really excel in that and make fun dishes. And then also sometimes, you know, you don't have a lot of time, so you just pick up a veggie platter or some cookies, and it always works out. We always have food from appetizers to desserts and everything in between, and it works really good. And that's a time for us to just sit down and share a meal and get to know one another, and it really helps us grow closer. And because of that community, I wouldn't have known John. And so today after the sermon, I'm going to go talk to John, and I'm going to tell him about the Lego exhibit that I went to yesterday because I know his boys like Legos. And if it wasn't for Tribe, my wife Krista wouldn't be friends with Lauren, who sang at our wedding. And if it wasn't for Tribe, my wife and I wouldn't know Junha. And just the great way that he can talk about Jesus and make him so approachable for non-believers, new believers, old believers, and that's why he officiated our wedding. And when you're at Tribe, it doesn't feel like you're getting a lecture in a classroom. Just kind of feels like you're sitting around a campfire with some friends, reading some scripture, talking about what it means to you. And some weeks I ask a lot of questions, I make a lot of comments. And then I remember there was one week when we got in the car after Tribe, and I turned to Chris and I said, "I don't think I said anything during Tribe that week." And she was like, "That's all right. You don't always have to say something. You don't always have to know the right answer, but you're going to learn something. You're going to enjoy your time being there together. You're going to prepare for the sermon on the upcoming Sunday." So I just want to encourage everyone that if you're looking for a community, for, you know, someone to share with a little bit after sermon on Sunday, just a friend, or a friend to be by your side during a big moment in life and to learn more about God, I hope you consider joining a tribe. That's what it's done for me, and I hope it can do the same for you.
Thank you, Nick. So, There's tribes. The next rounds of tribe placements are going to be this week. They're probably going to start on Tuesday. So if you are committed to this body of believers and you're interested in getting plugged into a tribe, ASAP, today is the day to sign up today, and there should be a QR code on your guide page. All right. I want to start inviting some people up here to talk to you about all of our ministries and how we make more and better disciples at Terra. First, I would like to invite Dylan Hall to come forward. Dylan is the head of our men's ministry, which we call Imago.
All right. Good morning, church. Quick participation activity. How many men do we have here at the church? Whew, mostly hands have been raised. We are going to have a whole different announcement if I didn't see some hands raised, and maybe a whole different direction. So we're good. All right. I'm feeling confident about this year. All right. So I've had the privilege of heading up our men's ministry called Imago for the last year and some change. And the question is, why a men's ministry? We've already heard about the focus, the direction for next year. Pick up our cross. What does it mean to deny ourselves and follow him in the big kind of theme of obedience? And we're going to continue that in a few ways. There's a guiding question if you look at Imago and the website and read some of the information. It's a guiding question for me. It's a guiding question for you as anybody as a Christian, but as a man. It says, what does it mean to live a life that yields to the Lord Jesus in every area of life? Right? I like to shorten it and make it applicable to me personally. Dylan, what has to die in me today to be a follower of Jesus? Okay. Paul says this. He gives us a quick kind of blueprint, and it's another guiding verse for me, but also for our men's ministry. 1 Corinthians 16, this is kind of a charge to us men. He says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, and let all that you do be done in love. Okay, four things very quickly. It's not a whole sermon, I promise. I'll be under 3 minutes. Imagine a church of men that do these four things. Men who are watchful. That means intentional, vigilant, like on guard. Imagine a church of men anchored in faith, being strong and courageous with conviction, and men who do everything rooted in love. Love of God, love of neighbor. Okay? And so that brings me to my call to action as I close my time here. The men's retreat is coming up very shortly. Register. We all need to be asking ourselves that question, what has to die in me to be the man that God has called me to be? But we also need other people around us asking that question. We need other guys in our lives, men, walking alongside us, asking us that question and holding us accountable to that question. And so the men's retreat is an amazing opportunity to get some distance, to spend time with God, with one another, and to refocus our purpose around being obedient, right? So that's my call to action. Men's retreat, check it out. You can sign up through the app. If you don't know how to do that, email any one of the pastors. We can send you a direct link where you can register. Hope to see you.
And just as we had Nick come over and testify of tribes, I would like to invite Chris Dunham up, and I would like for him to be able to talk about the men's retreat a little bit from a personal standpoint.
Morning, everybody. As Dennis said, my name's Chris. This will be my third men's retreat this year. And couldn't have been better timing, really, that Dennis asked me, because I really need this men's retreat, and I hope I connect with some of you today as well. Sorry. Not going to let me back up here again. Personally, this has been a pretty tough year for me. There's been a lot of challenges, stress, uncertainty. Most recently, there's been some pretty profound grief in my life this past couple weeks. This past year, I felt like I've been going through a state of just going through the motions, just trying to get through life, get through the week. Didn't really feel like there was much purpose in it. But less than 2 weeks ago, my cousin tragically passed away while serving as a flight paramedic. He was on call serving someone else when he passed away. He had a heart attack. He was only 55 years old. His death really shook me up. It really made me evaluate what the purpose is here, and why I'm doing the things I'm doing. He was a man who was always available to help, and he served those he didn't even know. Not all of us are called to that line of work, but I learned through this that connection with God and others is far more important than anything that makes us feel busy here on earth. I wouldn't really say I have a defining moment at a men's retreat, but I will say there's been a lot of times where I felt connected to God and others by going to the men's retreat. You'll have opportunities to encourage your brothers. You'll be encouraged by your brothers. You'll have a chance to drown out the noise and listen to God. You'll have a chance to meet new brothers and strengthen bonds with brothers you've known for years. It's a chance to get away from the office, a chance to be in God's creation. My cousin's death woke me up to focus on relationships. Everything else is going to fade away. That's something else that I've wrestled with, is what is my calling here? And I feel like Jesus has really gave us a good framework on that when he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Love God, love people. I'd highly encourage all you men to come to the retreat. If it is possible, you're not going to regret it. It's time well spent, and you're going to be building up treasures that aren't going to fade away.
Starting to feel like the announcer for The Price is Right. All right, so now we've had our men's ministry. We would like to give you a brief insight into what our women's ministry is going to be. For that, I invite the spokesperson for the women's ministry, being Rachel Gardner.
Hi, my name is Rachel, and I am Dennis's wife, and I have the privilege of co-leading the women's ministry Poema with the other pastors' wives as well. This year, we kind of did like a soft reset for the women's ministry, and we really dug into the scripture a little bit more, and I'll talk about, you know, what we're planning coming forward. I'm really excited for the privilege of leading the women's ministry because it helped me understand where God was taking me in my journey when I didn't understand it. And now that I'm here, I recognize the experiences that I've had and why God brought me through them. I have 2 years of experience as a missionary with YWAM, a bachelor's degree in Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic, and the humanities. Couldn't decide what I wanted to be when I grew up, so I became a nurse in 2007, a nurse educator in 2011. I spent 10 years in that position, adult education, human resources, and eventually decided I preferred patient care. So I'm a nurse practitioner in gastroenterology. All of these things now I realize, you know, are not wasted on my ability to see needs and care for people and also recognize the gifts of others and use them. Poema Ministry really focuses on the better disciples aspect of Tara's mission. We try to make the meetings very interactive so that everybody is digging into the word together and kind of learning more about those things. So I will say that the more voices that join the conversation make the study more effective. Please come. And you'll be getting invitations through the Poema group in our app. So make sure that you're a part of that group. If you need help using the app, Krista is your person to ask for help on that one. Krista. You will be getting an invitation coming out. One of our easy wins has been a crafternoon. Just fun time to, you know, get to know people, bring whatever you're working on and hang out. On the September 27th, we're going to have one of those from 1 to 4. And like I said, I'll be sending out an invitation for that. In this coming year, we're working toward better collaboration with the men's ministry and the young adults ministry, trying to promote the co-ed conversation around this year's theme of just how do we follow Jesus. And I'm hoping that what will happen is everybody will come back from their respective meetings and be able to talk to the people that they're around about what they're learning, and so we can grow together. And we're trying to also put together some ties for mentorship as well. Finally, our retreat is coming up and registration is open. Come, be encouraged with your sisters in Christ to persevere in the race set before us, despite physical, mental, and spiritual struggles, as we look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. It's a new venue. We chose this venue because it came with high recommendations from the youth group, and it saved us $100 a head. So that being said, we're trying it out. Space is limited, and will likely require some people to share a queen-size bed. So if you're willing to do that, you can indicate that in the form. You can say no, but we're hoping that some people will be willing to do that so that we can fit up to 41 people. So space is limited. You need to register soon, this month. There are no private rooms available. If you have any questions, my email is rachel@terranovachurch.org. That's R-A-C-H-A-E-L, like Michael. And I'm happy to discuss anything else you'd like to know. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Our young adults group, which we lovingly call YAG, has been one of our more robust ministries. They love to be together. They love to serve together. And I would like to invite, Rebecca, I'm not going to try to pronounce your last name. I'll let her do that, to come up and speak about what our young adult group is up to and what we hope for.
I wasn't going to say my last name either, so
well,
you're going to have to guess. Okay, no. Hi, everyone. My name is Becca Pussetier, and I serve as the Creative Communications Coordinator for our young adult group, which we lovingly like to call YAG. So I know some of you may not know me well, so I wanted to share a quick story. I moved to New York in 2019 for a job, and at that time, I didn't know anyone fully living in the area. So what I did is I Googled young adult group near me, and through that, I found community pretty much immediately. I made close friends, felt at home, and that sense of belonging was such a big reason why I stayed in the area, even though my jobs kept changing. And so that's why this ministry in particular is so special to me, and why it's such an honor to be a small part of it. So what is YAG? YAG is our young adults ministry for anyone ages 18 to 33, so college students, young professionals, single, married, everyone is welcome. Our heart behind this ministry is to create a space where young adults can grow with one another as disciples in the middle of what's usually a pretty unpredictable season of life. And we do that by focusing on three things: study, community, and outreach. So first, study. Once a month, we have Big YAG, our Bible study night led by our lead teacher, Kyle Maureen. Big YAG is a safe place where we can discuss the word together and grow in our relationship with the Lord. Second, we have community. Our events coordinator, Sarah Adamzak, puts together fun social events that help us connect and build real relationships. And then third, outreach. Our outreach coordinator, Leo, who also happens to be my husband, he organizes ways for us to serve the local community and put our faith into action by being the hands of Jesus. And if you haven't come to a young adult event yet because you're more of like a one-on-one person, or going to an event like that feels a little scary, I want to first let you know that you're not alone. I personally prefer one-on-one conversations over a group, but even with that, I found this group super encouraging. And second, I want to push you to get yourself outside of your comfort zone, because I find that when I do things that feel uncomfortable at first, the Lord usually teaches me something. Maybe I learned something new about myself, or maybe the thing that I was so worried about wasn't actually as scary as I thought. So if you're a young adult, no matter what stage of life you're in, I invite you to come check out YAG, come grow in your faith, build friendships, and serve alongside people in a similar season of life. And so I have a few quick YAG-focused announcements. big yag is tonight at 6 p.m. at the church office space. Come join us. We're going to be finishing the book of James. We would love to have you there. Second, we got field day. We're looking for a few young adult volunteers to help us run games and referees. So if you can help, reach out to Sarah, or you can check the young adult Facebook group to sign up. Lastly, we have Nerf War happening Friday, September 26th at 6:30 p.m. at the Youth for Christ Center in Clifton Park. Don't worry if you don't have a Nerf gun. We have extras, and bring your friends. So if you have any questions, I know that was a lot about what I shared or want to learn more, you can come talk to me after service or send me an email at yag@terranovachurch.org. We're also on Instagram and Facebook and on the app, so if you need all that information, you can talk to me as well. So thanks.
Kyle, stand up. Sarah, stand up. Just to give them, just give you an idea. Leo, of the people that she mentioned. So if you don't want to email them, just grab them after service. Okay, as we continue going from oldest to youngest, you probably recognize this lady, Krista Ferruggio. She oversees our youth group, and I would like to give her the same opportunity as the others.
Thanks, Dennis. So hello, once again, my name is Krista Ferruggio, and I have the joy of serving the Terra Youth Ministry here. My husband and I have been part of Terra Nova since 2013, not long after I began serving in the youth ministry while teaching middle and high school English. It's a role that I held for about 10 years before stepping into full-time ministry here. Let me share just a little bit about our youth ministry. So our mission is to come alongside families to make more and better disciples of Jesus in the next generation of our church. Parents are the primary disciple makers of their teenagers, of their middle school teenagers, but our role is to provide an additional set of adults who care for our students, encourage them, and help them live out their faith everyday life. Here's what this year looks like for Terra Youth. So our youth kickoff will be on September 28th. There's details of that in the Terra Nova app. Our first meeting will be October 5th. This year, we're going to gather on the first and third Sundays of each month after service. We should just go right downstairs here. We share brunch. We build friendships. We dig into God's word together. We also have Friday night gatherings about every other month for social events and outreach opportunities. We're excited this year to welcome Bernie and Linda Gilley to our youth leader team for our middle schoolers. They'll be working with 6th and 7th grade. For grades 8 through 12, students are going to meet in small groups with Max Kaparudis, Rob Shippers, Ian Shaughnessy, Melissa Walkup, and myself. Our theme for the year is Rooted, based on Colossians 2, 6 through 7. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus your Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Our prayer is that students would trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior, grow deeply rooted in him, and then from that, an overflow of gratitude will reach those around them in middle and high school. This ministry is such an important part of Terra's mission statement of making more and better disciples because teenage years are just so formative. We don't want our students just to know about Jesus. We want them to trust him. We want them to follow him, to build their lives on him so they have a solid foundation to then step out into this world. So if you're a student in grades 6 through 12, we'd love to invite you to be part of this. Bring your friends, bring your questions, come discover the joy of following Jesus together. And if you'd like to learn more, feel free to talk to me or email krista@terranovachurch.org.
All right, finally, she's putting down her child. Oh, no. Right. Laura Santos up, and she will introduce herself as the new head of Terra Kids.
Thank you, Dennis. Good morning. That's my child. She's excited for me to start. My name is Laura Santos, and I am the new Terra Kids director. I have been attending Terra Nova with my husband, Julian, for 10 years now, and I am so grateful for the opportunity to serve God and the church in this new role. I have always had a desire to work with children, and I have a wide variety of teaching experiences with all ages and abilities. I have a bachelor's degree in both childhood and special education, and a master's degree in literacy. I have also had the important privilege of being a stay-at-home mother the past 6 years to our three beautiful children, Sophia, Leo, and Lily, who just turned 6, 4, and 2 years old. Tara Kids is so important to Tara's primary mission of making more and better disciples because we are coming alongside parents and pouring God's love and truth into their children. We are planting seeds and being faithful to bring up the next generation and knowing the Word of God. One of my biggest hopes for this year is to continue to foster an environment where children enjoy learning about the love of Jesus. If you served as a Tara Kids volunteer this past year, please stand up. Stand up, all of you. Everyone who served last year in Tara Kids. Everyone give them a round of applause. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for all of the time, hard work, and love of God you poured into the children of this church. The children's ministry is always looking for volunteers. There are a few new serving roles being added this year, and we would love to have you on our team if the Lord is calling you to serve in this way. My email is laura@terranovachurch.org. Please email me if you have any questions. But there will also be a meeting for all Tara Kids volunteers downstairs right after church in the Quest classroom. I know there's a lot of events happening today, and you can still attend those events with coming to this event. I am going to keep it under a half an hour. I'm aiming for 20 minutes. I know that there's a lot going on today, and I don't want to add on to that, but I'm going to be starting like 5 minutes after the service ends. It's going to be downstairs. The Quest classroom is the cafeteria. It's down the hallway to the right. We're just going to be going over some more details about the curriculum and the procedures of Tara Kids. So if you were a Tara Kids volunteer last year and you're coming back, if you are interested in becoming a volunteer, this meeting is also for you. But it's also for a parent who might be interested in knowing more details about the curriculum and the procedures. Please join us downstairs to learn more. And just as an added incentive, for those of you who were volunteers last year in Tara Kids, I will have a thank you treat for you made by our very own Miriam Walther. So if you don't know her and her treats, you have something special awaiting for you as a thank you. So please make sure you come downstairs to snag your treat and learn more about the program for this year. Thank you.
Yes. So yes, there is a lot going on today after church. I think Laura's the only one that actually bribed people. But you know what? We say a lot of things almost apologetically, but it's not apologetic. Again, these ministries are all based on our primary mission to make more and better disciples, and they're for us. They're for the church to utilize. I'd like to invite the band back up. So I'm just going to encourage you as discipleship pastor, pray, get involved in one or more of these ministries. And we can build into you, we can build into each other, and we can all draw closer to Christ and him to draw closer to us. Let's pray. Father, it's encouraging to know that we heard the name of Jesus throughout all of these testimonies, probably as many times as we wouldn't on a normal Sunday, which just goes to show that this is all about you. That you, in your sovereignty, in the Father's sovereignty, has drawn us to yourself, and we are here today because we want to be closer to you and to have more of you and to be servants of you and, to say it again, to make more and better disciples of Jesus Christ. Could there be a better mission for a church or a Christian or a disciple. And so we are thankful that we are part of that, that you have given us the privilege to be called children of God, and that we can be tools to build your kingdom. Father, now as we move into the next part of our service, we ask that you would continue to be glorified, and we love you the most. And we pray these things in Christ's name by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.